gotta work fast, true father. The accused don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-V. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears your heart's cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah. We are spiritual armed men. We're wrestling out against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He's the greatest that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you're weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty men of valor.
Praise to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, that's an awesome. Oh, my goodness. I love hearing that, boy. You almost ready to put on your armor and go out and declare the victory all over the place. Hallelujah.
You're amen.
God bless you. Hello, everyone. You join Pastor Byrd and Minister Jerry Cleveland to the Men's Fellowship of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center, where the broken are made whole by God. And I tell you, we thank God. Hallelujah. We done been through another month, y'all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They tell me this is August. Is that right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have mercy. Seems like the years just is flowing past us. Brother Jerry, I tell you, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, Jerry, if you want to share anything, housekeeping suggestions, I don't know what suggestions we can give other than to get all the boys and the men around the phone or get them on the line so that we can share some information that will bless them. Hallelujah. Brother Jerry.
Amen. Make sure that everybody's got some kind of writing utensil, so that they can take copious notes, bless the Lord, and that they have a notebook or a notepad or an electronic device, perhaps pad, or, you know, we've gotten away from pencil and paper. A lot of people have, but I have not. But if you got some kind of a an iPad or whatever it is that you have to take notes with and to keep them so that you can review. Yes, sir, get everything set because this is a hot one today. Bless God forever.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we thank God today, you know. I was trying to kind of find out what should we be talking about today, because there's a lot of information that men need to know so they can navigate through this life, because it's not the same, you know. Sometimes some of the information that men receive, it's not the same as what women receive in this life. And so we need to kind of make sure that we got the information so that we can, you know, stand in the role and in the place that God wants us to stand in our families, in our community, in our churches or whatever. I say, Jerry, I would just have you lead the way on this one. I got some thoughts, but I wanted you to kind of lead the way. If you have any ideas of what to share to the mighty men of valor and the men in training, all those young men, the little boys, hallelujah, glory to God.
Well, you know, something that's been on my mind a little bit is, yes, sir. One thing that has been kind of on my mind since we mentioned this a little earlier is that men are the head, and the women or the females are the helpmates. But that does not make the man the boss. It just makes him the head. It makes him the responsible party, so to speak. So that's one thing that has been kind of flowing through my system, is that men, particularly married men, are the ones that God has put in charge. When God told Adam to dress the garden, you know, Adam just thought it was going to be him, the woman, and he said, "What is this?" And God told him, "This is your helpmate. This is the one who's going to assist you. She's going to help you. She's going to complete you. She's going to bring the other part of you together, and you're going to be a whole person, a whole man." Well, he thought he was whole when it was just him and the animals. But now he's got someone else to care for, and he's got someone else to put into his psyche and to help him get through life, to assist him. So he is now no longer not the boss, but he does have someone to be in charge of. But he is still the leader of the way.
Amen. You know, I see that. That's so true. I see that as being the man is the responsible. He's in the head of the line.
Yes.
He's in the head of the line, mm-hmm. You know, and he is responsible for everything that comes after him. And
right.
I see it like you're driving a vehicle. As far as I know, that you can only have one driver. Is that right?
There's only one driver.
Driving, but you have what they call somebody riding shotgun. Somebody to help us along the way. Now, the word that is used in the Bible, help meet, is M-E-T-E, which means someone that helps you, that's suitable, that fits you like a glove. And a lot of people think that being the man being the head of the household means that he's the boss, and he's the one that says, "Well, are we going to do it this way?" No, you do it God's way. Hallelujah. But you got a helper to help you do it God's way. And that's yours. Glory to God. God prepared a woman just for you. God prepared a woman for Adam. God didn't prepare three or four different women and they said, Adam, you pick one of these. He prepared Eve for Adam, the one that will fit him like a glove. And so that helped him reach his destiny in God. That's why his headship. He's in the head of the line, and he gets support, comfort, and assistance of that woman. Hallelujah! That God is in his life, and I think that is very important for men to understand. Your wife is not apart from God's plan. She's a part of God's plan. God will drop stuff in your wife's spirit that she may not even be able to articulate. But because
that's what I'm saying.
Nature of a woman, she's there to help you. She just knows, okay, this will work or this won't work. This is what I believe God wants us to do. And she shares that with you. Listen to your wife. Listen to the woman of God. Don't listen to every woman in the world. I'm not talking about that. Listen to your wife.
That's right.
The woman that God has placed in your life to make you better. I'm reminded of my wife that God has placed. I have become a better person because of my wife. I've
published
books and done things that I didn't even conceive of doing prior to me being married to this wonderful woman.
Yeah.
And I thank God for that. So as the head of the house, because there got to be, you know, one person driving the bus, your bus or your car. Everybody can't have their hands on the steering wheel. You understand what I mean? So somebody got to, you know, it's not saying that they're a better driver or whatever, but it's just that somebody got to get behind the wheel. And God.
And somebody has to be held accountable and responsible. Yes. So, you know, and when you talk to, if anything happens to happen while you are in transit, while you are at the head of the line there, while you in charge, while you're driving, the insurance company wants to know, well, who was driving?
Mm-hmm.
And did he have driver's license? Was everybody buckled up? And you can say yes or no, but you are the one as the driver who are going to be held responsible for everybody being buckled up, everybody being safe in your vehicle.
You know, Minister Jay, just like in Genesis, the forbidden fruit and all that kind of stuff. God summoned the garden to say, okay, who did this? He called out Adam, says, Adam, what have you done?
Right.
The conversation was Eve had with Satan, and then she followed what Satan was telling her. But God didn't come in and say, Eve, he came in and said, Adam. See, headship means responsibility.
Yeah.
That's what that means. And here's just a nugget on that.
Mm-hmm.
As the head, there are certain things you're responsible for, and you should never say out of your mouth when you're dealing with your wife or with your fiance, you're getting, you're thinking about marrying and all that. There's certain things that you should never say, because this is practical stuff. There are about three or four things, you know, and this is getting really down where the rubber meets the road. You should never ask a woman how old they are.
Oh.
Never, don't you dare do that. You never ask the woman how old they are. You never make a comment about, you know, look like you gained a little weight. Don't you? Now, this, and you're talking to your wife, but she asks, does this dress make me look bigger? You come up with another answer. You don't you say, if you think it does, you have to come up with an answer that will not offend your wife, because you don't want your parents.
Hold on.
Plus, you glory to God. But you say, what do you think, honey? You come up with a different answer. There's certain things you've got to ask the head. She's depending on you to kind of give her support also. She's depending on you to come up with the right answers. And the right ain't them kind of answers there. The right answer got to be something that will give her support, encouragement, and to build her up and to lift her up and to make her feel that she is special. Yes, you be at the head, but the woman is right beside us. When you talk about what God did, he brought woman not out of the feet, no, out of the head, out of the side. The woman is to be a support, walking side by side, not in back of you, but side by side. And so you're concerned about how she feels and how she thinks and what's going on in her life, just like you are in your life. So as the head, as the responsible person, you're responsible for her feelings and how she is coping on today. Your question ought to be always, how are you doing, honey? How are you feeling?
Uh-huh.
Anything I can do to help you.
That's right.
Men take headship, it goes to our head. And again, we think it means the fault. And we are to be served. Yes, it's nice to be said. We want to be treated as a king, but in order to be treated as a king, we got to make sure we treat her as a what? Queen. Treat her as a queen. So we are concerned about what's going on in her life. And
because we're concerned about what's going on in her life, and we have to make her aware that we are concerned about what's going on in her life.
Yeah.
And that just because we are the king, because we are the king, you're absolutely right. We have to make sure that everything that the queen wants or the queen suggests or the queen gets in, we have to support that. We have to okay. We have to put our stamp of approval on it, or we have to put our stamp of denial on it. But in any case, we have to involve her, and she's got to be make herself involved. Can I put this verse in here? This is Genesis 2:20. The man gave name. This was after God had put him in the garden, of course. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the sky and to every animal of the field. But for man, there was not found a helper compatible to him. Yahweh God caused the man to fall asleep, of course, and he took the rib and closed him up, closed the flesh up, and he made the woman. So the man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken out of me. So she is deliberately a part of you. Whether you admit it or not, she is spiritually and physically and anatomically a part of you.
You got it.
Therefore,
yes.
The part that I wanted to mention was, you know, if God gave man the power to name every beast of the field, every animal, every plant, every tree, every bush, every shrub, gave them the power to name all of this stuff and have the names stick, then he must have been some kind of what we would call today some kind of digital genius, to be able to name every flower and every tree and then go back and you say, well, Adam, what did you name it? Oh, I named this one the Atubula Ababuba. And, you know, and he remembers that. Out of all the thousands of other things that he named. So you know he has given man the ability to say the right thing at the right time to his wife.
Amen. See, not only the man's responsibility was to name, he also deprived their function. And he deceived them and deprived their function. But you know what? The man did not name and define the function. God had woman define her function. Adam called her Eve, a woman, but God defined her function. She's gonna be suitable for the man, fit him like a glove. So he, it's like when you wear a pair of gloves, you know, they fit you, you know, and you wear them, you have them, it's a part of you. You cannot separate that from you. You know, we cannot be complete without the woman. You know,
right.
And a lot of folks don't understand that God has a woman to be a part of our lives. And we're not complete without the woman. Hallelujah. The woman that God has for us. And,
right on.
You know, everybody, you know, Adam looked out. He saw the cow, the cattle, the male and female, this male and female, that male and female. But where was the helper for the man? And then God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, man can stand alone. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. So he wanted to make a helpmeet for man. And I tell you, he did a pretty good job, I tell you. Glory to God.
What? You know, one thing about it, Bishop, is that when you, a lot of times we don't realize, we as men don't realize that we are incomplete until we find that right woman who, and until we marry that right woman, because there has to be a spiritual union. That we don't realize that we were not complete, or that when the woman came, oh, now I feel whole, I feel complete, I feel there's something different about me now. You know, it's like You don't realize it and you don't recognize it until it comes.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't know if you know what I mean, but
no, exactly what you mean, and that's so true. See, the woman being added to our lives make us a better person. You know how the scripture talks about one is 1,000, but 2, 10,000. By yourself, you can chase 1,000. You know, you can put 1,000 to flight. But when you hook up with the woman, the right woman, y'all together can chase 10,000. Hallelujah. In other words, yes, you got more power. You have more ability to do more together than you can do separately.
Not only that, but Bishop, but you have more insight.
Insight. You know, and the insight comes from the two of y'all putting your heads together.
There we go.
You know,
yes.
A lot of people say, well, you know, sometimes we have differences. Well, that's a God-given blessing to have differences of opinions. I didn't say arguments. I said differences of opinion. Because
a man
will look at a situation in one way. A woman looks at a situation in another way. But when they're together, you know, you get the whole circumference of an issue. In other words, this way, we got that way. So when y'all talk together, you say, oh, yeah, okay. And you see more through the eyes of your woman, or the woman sees more through the eyes of her husband than she sees just through her eyes. So together, y'all can get that stuff done. Together, y'all can understand and bring clarity analyzing of a situation, a condition, or an event. Together, y'all can be what God would have y'all to be. That's why the family is to God. And let's make it real plain. Can I make it plain?
Make it plain, Doc.
If you were the ones that had to have a baby, I'm going to tell you something.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't do it. Oh, God.
So, God has made, and some folks, and there's a scripture, I don't talk about the weaker sex, not the weaker, you know, so sometimes it's the gender that has to be protected when they are in a pregnant state.
Okay.
That's the only thing. Look, because you meet some women, thank God. You meet some women, Lord, I mean, if y'all had to fight, you know, they'd beat you up because they can lift. I said one lady, she was lifting, she was bench pressing 400-some pounds. A lot of men can't do 200 pounds, let alone
400
pounds. So it's about that weakness only comes when they're in a pregnant state. But that, I don't know if you call that weakness, because some of that pain, the stuff that they go through, again, I don't know. I know one man that wouldn't be able to go through that stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay, we know two. Yes, sir, there's two of us that can do it.
Again, men, head does not mean boss.
Yes.
It means you can help carrying the cross of the family. You carry the cross of the family. Your responsibility to carry the weight of the family. Through thick and thin, through good times, bad times, and ugly times, you carrying a responsibility. And so you're responsible for making sure that woman feels appreciated, loved, and cared for. That's why you don't wait for her birthday or Valentine's Day or anniversary to send her flowers or give her a candy gram or a candy basket or a snack basket or what or send her a present or buy her a gift. Anytime when you think about it, All you have to do is sit down for just 5 minutes and think about where you'd be without this woman God has placed in your life. And all of a sudden you say, you know, you're right. Let me send her something, or let me give her something. And you go ahead and do it. It's okay.
Let
her know that you think about her more than
just on her birthday or just on a anniversary time. Yes.
Right.
You know, they say it starts in the kitchen.
Uh-huh. It is.
It starts in the kitchen. That's right.
So,
the most unlikely place. So when you give those unlikely gifts, those unlikely and unexpected things, you know, that's what sparks. That's what gives it the spark. That's what gives it the glitter. That's what adds the icing to things that you don't even see. You're not even aware of. But when it reaches the destination, the receiver will say, "Oh, honey, you shouldn't have. Oh, blah, blah, blah," and give you a bunch of reasons why and how it was accepted and received that you had no clue of.
You know when they say
a woman, when you get up, man, when you get up in the morning, the woman has already been dressed down the street and back already.
You know what? You're right. But don't take for granted what your wife has to do or does. And some folks,
that's right.
You know, some men, you're working and you say, "Well, my wife don't have to work. I work and bring in the money, and she just home. She can do everything."
Mm.
If you got 2 or 3 children, you may just have a 1 child and take care of all the house. She's a manager. She's managing the house for you.
Yes.
Don't shortchange her on that. And man,
oh God, no.
Look. You got to be faithful to your wife.
Yes.
Y'all just be like, brother, listen to this brother. He was sitting in the kitchen, and the wife came up and hit him upside the head with a frying pan. He said, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "I was going through your clothes trying to get ready to wash something, and I found this piece of paper. Well, Gina on there?" And he said, "Gina, I went to the race track, and that's the name of the horse that I was going to bring. I didn't want to forget the horse's name. That's the one I was going to bet on." And the next day she come up. And she hit upside the head again with five pair. Said, "What's that for?" Said, "Your horse called on the telephone." He said, "I'm gonna switch. Gina, your horse called for you." Be faithful to your wife.
Amen.
Don't you treat no other woman outside of your house better than you treat your wife.
Amen.
You're out of order. Don't you treat them women in the church better than you treat your wife.
Don't you
yell and scream at your wife. Because you know what that is? That's called seed. And
seed.
Women always give back what you give them, but they multiply.
Yes.
And run over. You give them bad seed, you may get a harvest. Multiply and run it over. You give your wife 2 bags of groceries, she's going to give you a great meal. You give her a seed of a child, 9 months, she's going to give you a beautiful baby.
Mm.
You give her frustration and stress, she's going to give you H-E double hockey sticks.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, she's going to give you hell.
Yeah.
And then you wonder why you got hell at home. What did you give that woman? You're supposed to be the head. You're supposed to be the leader. You're supposed to show her this is how a man ought to treat his wife. You ought to show her how she should be treated. A godly man should treat his wife so that she can go out and tell another woman, a young woman just got married, or somebody thinking about marriage, how a godly man ought to treat their wife.
Yeah.
So look here. You just remember this. The seed you sow is the crop you're going to grow. You give your wife stress, you're going to get a harvest, a stressful harvest. But you give her love, hallelujah. You're gonna get a whole harvest of love, hallelujah. You give her pain, you're gonna get a harvest of pain. Come on now.
Oh yeah.
Hallelujah. You give her good words and appreciation, and she's gonna multiply that and give that back to you.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
So you know the women are just. They have that innate ability to give you be the love of your life, or they know how to release the hell of brimstone on you. They know how to do it.
Yeah, I mean it's in there, you know.
Oh yeah, it's in there.
Look at you. You better treat them right.
According to the seed you sow. Yes, sir.
Amen. Many years ago, I used to live in Cambridge, and there was one brother. He was married, and he would run the streets and run women, and then come in late at night. No matter what time he came in late at night, his wife would get up, say, honey, you want me to heat your food up and all that kind of stuff? And he kept doing that, and he kept just laughing. You know, he said, well, I got it going on all right. He kept doing it. And we asked her, did she say anything? No, she didn't say anything. And we warned him, said, look here, don't keep doing that. Because one day, you're going to regret not treating your wife right. Oh, man, y'all don't know what you're talking about. One day, because see, man, you got to go to sleep. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
You got to go to sleep. One day he was sleeping. He done that. One day he was sleeping in the middle of the night. He woke up like he was on fire. See, what happened? Mm. She boiled some water. I'm glad it wasn't grits. But he boiled and threw some hot water on her while he was asleep. Because he had it. Y'all, man, you're the head. That means you're ahead of the line. But you better treat your woman right. Because, look, not only will your prayers be hindered, but your life be in jeopardy if you don't do her right. Because God decreed and declared that you take care of your household. And your household begins with your wife, buddy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Bishop, that's a good word. So it's after God, your wife comes your wife. That's the lineup.
And a lot of women, y'all talk about stuff. Y'all say, well, first is my children. I don't care if they're bonus children, stepchildren to the man. First before the children is your husband. Then
that's
your
right.
children.
Then
the
right.
cat and the dog,
and
then
yes.
everybody else.
Yes, yes. That is the God's plan. That is his lineup.
That's his
Amen. Line.
The head and then the wife, the suitable, the helpmate, and then
yes.
the children. Because you're
and
still responsible. I don't care if you're the bonus father, the stepfather. You're still responsible for rearing the children. In a godly way. You're still responsible for being a godly father. Hallelujah,
yes.
please God. Well,
amen, amen.
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 Absolutely. I hear the alarm going off, so I know it's time for us to stop, but I want y'all to keep that in mind as we get ready to go off the air. Father God, we thank you. We ask that you would bless the words of our mouths, that you give 36 and 100-fold harvest on the seed that was sown. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, for touching and blessing the men and the would-be men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The boys that will grow up to be godly men. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Leading a household to God in Jesus' name. We praise your name and glorify your name in Jesus' name. Minister Jerry, thank you so much for joining us on today. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the invite.
And we see you next month. Hallelujah. On the men's show. Hallelujah. Thank you.
The Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life. The mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I say the Lord will be unto her. A wall of fire run about, be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship that true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ and we stand strong as brethren. It is written. Whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the key. All you have to do is take it for G-O-V. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword, the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears your heart's cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty men. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. I Christ, you get on your knees. You're weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty man of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty man of valor.
Hallelujah.
Did I scare you? Oh, man. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry about that. But I saw the truck, and then as I got closer, I saw the Oregon tags. I said, what are they talking about, the Oregon tags?
Hallelujah.
From where? Tillamook. Is that right? That's where I'm from. I'm from Portland. Yeah, that's why. That's huh? Portland. Oh my God. Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, oh my God. Oh, that is amazing. That is oh, someone else from Portland, Oregon. In Baltimore, I can't believe it. Oh, that is something.
We can hear your conversation.
Baltimore, 50 years, but I went back. I went back. Oh, what? Yeah, I didn't want to trust.
You think that's it?
Oh, yeah. Hey there. I'm doing okay. What's going on? I just stopped by to get some ice cream. I never heard of this truck. I think so. Premier? Yeah. Tell them who. No. Okay. Yeah. Tell, what is that? Wait a minute. What is it? Is that right? Ooh. Huh? Oh, wonderful. Oh, tell them, what is it? Tell them about. Oh, tell them about. Tell them about. Okay.
Inside of me.
Oh. We moved. My parents died. And my grandmother happened to be visiting us in Oregon at the time. She moved us here. I was 10, my brother was 7, and my sister was like 3 years old or so. She was like 2 or 3. So that's how we got here. Isn't it something? You know, out of all of the time that she could have visited us, it was that time that she needed to be there to close things out. Isn't that something? Oh, okay. All right, here we go. Butter pecan. Let's go. What kind of cones do you have? Okay. All right. Put it in a cup with a cone on the top. Okay. Butter. Let me have a dip of butter pecan and the Oregon strawberry, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. One, yeah, one of each. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put them both in a cup and put one cone on top. Huh? No, it doesn't matter. Oh, what else is there? What else? No. Mm-mm. Okay. I'll use this. No! You know what? I'm going to let her be my mouthpiece. I thought I was satisfied. I saw the truck. Yeah. And as I came to the truck, I said, Oregon? There's a truck here from Oregon?
Oh, my God. It's a story. It's besides you, this is the best thing that came out of Oregon.
Hallelujah.
Down the aisle 26 years ago.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. And I was beginning, I guess, tears are welling up in my eyes because it's not always an easy job being God's woman. But he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. God will give us the strength that we need to be his woman, no matter what the world says or how the world says that we are supposed to handle things, to do things, because believe me, the world goes by a different book. Goes by a different book. And when children are in the midst and then sometimes the breakdown of the family happens and sometimes parents split up and then children are in the middle. And one of my oldest sent me something from Mustn't Off TikTok today, and this man, I guess he was asked or whatever, or someone asked him, should the mother keep the children or the child from seeing the, keep, I guess the mother wants to guard that child's heart from seeing that father, because the father has proven himself to be inconsistent with coming to see or saying, oh, I'm coming past, I'm coming past, and I know what that's like. I've lived through that. And then the children will be sitting there waiting for dad. Daddy say he's coming. Daddy say he's coming. And hours go past. And the child is sitting there, and hours go past, and they're still waiting for daddy to come because daddy said, daddy said he's going to come. You know, and in your heart, you want to, okay, I'm going to get this joker. He's gonna keep on hurting my children's feelings, you know. And look, we're saved. We can't stop that bird from flying over our head, but we can stop them from making that nest in our head. So therefore, we gotta rebuke them thoughts and stuff real fast. We gotta hurry and get them thoughts. That joking. I'm telling children next time he say he gonna come past and this and that. Because, you know, the 1 Timothy 5 says, fathers, it says, provoke not women. Oh, wait a minute. 1 Timothy 5, 8, it says, he that provided not for his own household is worse than an infidel. We know the dad gone, and let's say he's not providing, and then he says, well, I'm going to come past, and then he don't. That father's word has power.
Yes.
And whatever he says, you know, we feel like, hey, tell me anything. Lie to me. But don't lie to my kid.
Yeah.
You know? And the child is going to hold on to everything daddy said. But daddy said such and such. But daddy said this. But daddy said that. And it's not, and we're thinking like, and we want to tell these children, look, your father done already proved me a lie. But the thing is, you don't want to speak anything negative to the child about the parent, you know. And then when the father doesn't come through, you try and change the whole atmosphere of the home and trying to give the children cookies and ice cream so they ain't crying their eyeballs out, you know. And Ephesians, another scripture I'm thinking about, Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Yeah.
And Proverbs 22:6 said to train up a child.
Yeah.
And we trying our best to do that. And in the Old Testament and in the New, Exodus 20:12 says, honor thy father and mother. And you know what? But when that father's not speaking the truth or speaking things and not following through, it's kind of hard to, for that child to honor that father and to do or have any type of reverence for that father, and when the father isn't doing what he's supposed to do, and we're in the church, in the Lord, and trying to raise that child to honor that parent as the word of God says. But you know what? Sometimes that child would get to the point of telling you and the father, both of y'all lies, and liars, and then this and this, and I don't have nothing to do with you, and then this and this and that. And we have to guard that child's heart and pray over that child and cover that child in prayer so that that child, they have to watch and make sure we have to make sure they don't hear us say anything negative about dad, no matter what dad, no matter what he shows. And I used to always tell my children, well, we have to pray for dad's salvation. We have to pray for dad. We have to pray for dad. That's what they would hear me say. We have to pray for dad. They never heard me, you know, call him the scuzz bucket or, you know, or say something negative or anything like that. And when they got older, they was able to tell him, Dad, Mama never said anything bad about you. Because you know what? One of my sisters said, those children are going to get to the age of seeing that man for what he really is. They're going to, you know, grow up and see and figure out the truth. So therefore, we don't have to paint a bad picture of dad. We have to, you know, I guess, like, watch over the children, guard their heart, guard our heart, keep everybody covered with prayer, and pray for his salvation. And that's something that I'm and still doing to today, praying and asking God for his salvation. I don't want him to die in his, you know, in his sins, because God is not going to reward him for what he does to us. He's going to reward me for what I do to him.
Yeah.
He's not going to stand before God for me. I have to stand before God for me. And that's in every situation. We have to stand. We aren't going to give account to God for anybody else.
Yeah.
Ourselves. Yeah. And that's something, and we have to, and God will give us the strength. God will give us the fortitude.
Yeah.
God will give us everything we need.
Yeah.
God knows what we need before we even ask.
Yeah.
The word of God says before we even pray, he's already answered.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. There was a many a night walking the floor with you and wiping the tears. Plenty of times, Lord, the children need this. Lord, the children need that. And God, I remember one day I needed, the children needed school supplies. And I said, and they said, well, Mommy, we need a notebook paper when we get home. And I said, okay, Mommy have it for you. I dropped them off at school. I didn't have no notebook paper in my money in my pocket, but walking across the parking lot, I found $10 on the ground.
Yes.
And God provided the money for the notebook paper.
Yes.
I was saying, thank you, Jesus. God will be, God will pick up the slack for that missing partner.
Yes.
He will. Yes. He will be to us just what we take him to be.
Yes.
And God is awesome.
Yeah.
So we had to tell, okay, God, I need you to do this for me. I need you to do that. But he can't see us shimming and shining and just shucking and jiving and you know, playing both sides of the field and doing this and doing the wrong things to get the things that we need. And all. But he has to see us standing on the word of God for the things that we need, for the household, for the children, even standing before him for that wayward parent, believing for that parent's salvation. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm just going to order Mr. Linda.
I'm listening because your perspective and mine are coming from two different poles.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, I'm listening to you talking about the father who left home and your struggle with your kids and all. And with me, even in marriage and all, I had a hard time saying father. Even though I gave my life to Christ and everything, and I read in the Word and how my Father took care of me, the Holy Father, talking about God the Father, I had a hard time saying Father. You know, that's why I began to look up the other names that we could call it. Because my father left my mother when I was 10 months old. And the gentleman that my mom married was not kind. Us and me and my brothers. And so when someone said father to me, it was like a cringe. It was not a good, safe place to be.
Yes.
And so anytime, even when I was sitting in God's house, because my mother made sure we were raised in the church and everything, but in the back of my head, you know, father was not a good place, a good word for me.
Yes, yes.
And so I don't know about any other women or any other circumstances, but I was left with my children and trying to raise them. So I gave them the view when I, you know, the spiritual perspective of it.
Yes.
like you said, they would be looking for their dad and he wouldn't show up, or, you know, he would tell them something and he wouldn't come through, and then that made it really work a little harder.
Uh-huh.
But when I began to talk in the realm, I've always brought him up in the ministry and
mm-hmm.
church,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to be more personal with him,
mm-hmm.
my father. And when I began to talk about God, when we began to pray together as a family, and I said, God would provide. Our Father God would provide,
uh-huh.
you know?
Yes.
Elohim, El Shaddai, Adonai. You understand, I began to, you know, say, they would say, Mom, you know, we go to church and everything, but you know, why you say that? And I said, because our Father, your Father, I give you the Father in heaven. I can only give you this Father
uh-huh.
because
uh-huh.
you can't depend on this Father here, the earthly Father,
mm-hmm.
you know, your daddy or whatever y'all want to call him. I said, he's not present and he's not accountable. And so that's what I began to raise them up in, you know, the Father in the church, the Father God, to depend on God. Don't put the confidence in the arm of flesh, you know, God's word. But in the same token, I was raising men, boys, to become men, and they would become fathers.
Mm.
And I had to give them a view where they would look down and look at their children differently than their fathers would look at them.
Mm.
And so that was another task that God had given me, how to raise these young men, young boys, to be fathers later
mm-hmm.
on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just made there were men in the church in the ministry that came up and, you know, would take them out and carry them certain places, you know, and they had things in the church like camping and
uh-huh.
different things. And, you know, and I would watch over them. And I mean, like a hawk, I'd be watching everybody just
uh-huh.
to make sure that they did not mistreat my sons, that they
mm-hmm.
didn't, you
mm-hmm.
know, and to govern how they were being raised and taught, even
mm-hmm.
in the ministry,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's a journey. It's a really something else when you're growing up. And as women, to know who our fathers are. I don't know about your father. I'm hoping that your dad was there for you.
Yes.
Yeah. My father, he couldn't help himself. He wasn't able to be there for me. But father, my real father stepped in. And he gave me a peace when I get in my place, in my prayers, in my quiet place. And that gave me the freedom to even reach out to show my kids that in God there's a peace. And that Father, there's a strength. And that Father, there's a hope.
Mm.
And Father God, you know, that we could have a confidence that he would never leave us or forsake us.
Yes.
You know, those are the things in the words of God that I would give my children,
mm-hmm.
all of them, my daughters also, because I wanted them covered and protected. I wouldn't want my daughters to go through what I went through. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm eagle-eyed on every situation. But and speaking to the women who are out there who may have a father that's not there, trust in the Lord your God
with all
your soul and lean not to your own understanding.
Yes.
Acknowledge him. Acknowledge the works that he does. And when we get the blessings of God, like I was said, like you say, sometimes I would go to the store and I didn't have the money, but God would put the stuff in the store at my price.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford it. You know, he would say, get up and go. And when I went out to go someplace and I came back and I said, see what God provided. Look at what Father did. Look at
mm-hmm.
the daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would acknowledge that daddy gave this.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
This was your father that made a way out for us. And the boys began to look and listen and see how a father provided. So that's the realm of raising them up and training them up to understand that, you know, they have a God that they can go to that is beyond the Father of this earthly realm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? And so I'm sorry, I don't mean to be deep, but yes, it is deep because it's a way of life.
Yes, yes.
We choose to live our lives before God.
Thank you.
Okay,
Jesus.
And
thank
that's
you,
the way we train up our babies to live before God. You know, he says the footsteps of a righteous man is
ordered.
Yes. He delights in every step that he takes. And so we have to show the kids, even in their, you know, whatever step they're doing, to honor God with it.
Mm.
To do those things that brings not just rewards, but to make them feel that they've accomplished something in somebody else's life, where they could be kind and they could be good, you know, to train them and show them that in giving and sharing is not a place where you can be selfish. You know, you have to look out for the one who's walking beside you, you know, and to lift that brother and sister up. And that's a way of training them in fatherhood and motherhood. Because I'm saying everybody, we got family that's all over the place. Because of the kindness and the love that you share. And that was what they were brought up in, you know. And it's not a perfect thing because everybody chooses and everybody finds their own way. But it was the way that I could, you know, give them to believe one father, you know. And even the more to know that even without a father present, that they could still love the earthly father. You know, they didn't have to have a bitterness towards them because they didn't want for anything.
Praise God.
You know, because God provided, you know, and that took a lot of weight off of the other father.
Hallelujah.
Who came around and said, you know, well, listen, I'm going to make sure I get over here because I'm blah, blah. And he was there for the graduations and stuff, but he wasn't there for the clothes. You know what I'm saying? And then he said, yeah, y'all look pretty good, you know. But then he had to, sometimes he would catch up with it, and he would be kind. He didn't want to get cut, you know, with his little stuff not showing and hanging out. But you know, but we all knew that it was because of the favor of God that even touched his heart and changed his heart and mind, that would provoke him to be kind to his children.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so that is, I think, the father that we would want in our home.
Hallelujah.
You know, I know the natural father is always good. And then God always provides, and I found that out too, men who will come along and be a father figure.
Praise God.
You know, even if he's not in your home, he's out there where he can be kind and teach men come up and to be the men that they're supposed to be, and to show your daughters how they're supposed to be respected and treated as men, you know?
Hallelujah.
I'm sorry, I'm going to let...
It's good.
You know, we're talking because we're sojourning through here, through life, and life gives us a lot of things that we're not prepared for.
Right.
But in Christ and God, and I know people say, well, you know, you're saying that because, no, baby. But so they say the road is rough and the going get tough.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, sis? Well, never has let me down.
Hallelujah.
Ah, girl, I get in that room and I turn my face to the wall.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I lay back and I say, Daddy.
Amen.
I need you. And I mean, when my kids are in trouble, when my babies are going through something, and I mean, let me tell you, it's nothing. No, he said no good thing that he was holding.
Yes.
The family already knows who your babies are before they get out there in the world.
Hallelujah.
You know, so they want to be challenged with things. So you have to prepare them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to literally stand and know that for God I live, for God I die. You know, this is my
praise
life.
God.
This is the life that I give you. That blood that's flowing in our veins, he said he breathed the breath of life in us. I remember when I gave my life to Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
I wasn't playing anymore.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I remember the feeling that came over me that was different, you know, because God began to change my mind and allow God in my life with all of my heart, sis. So these are things, if it's your mother out there, if your father out there, and you got a wife, sometimes the wives can be just as bad. You want somebody to be a mother in your house, too, you know. Sometimes the mothers will walk. Well, I will say that my kids would say, because I wanted them to know their dad, wherever I found them at, wherever he was, I would take the kids and put them on the door. Say my mom would find my father and my dad would open the door and we'd be standing up there grinning. My mom would be gone.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry, sis. I have to tell them. Because I wanted them to have a relationship. with their father.
Oh,
and
my
wherever that dude was, I'd be like, you know, if they can take you in, they can take the wind as a package. And they'd be looking up and showing me on the doorstep, no clothes, no food, no
Oh,
food.
My goodness.
Same way he left them is the same way he got them back. Because I even got taken down to social service because they said that I had deserted my children, abandoned my kids. the lady came out and was talking to me, says, Ms. Clark, well, we have a report that you are abandoning your children and da 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 da. And I said, abandon my kids. And she came out and she was, you know, investigating. And I said, no, Princess, I took them over to their father's house. Well, their father. That's the one who made the report on you. And I was saying, oh, he did? I said, well, baby, I did him the same way he did me. And the lady said, well, Ms. Blackwell, there's nothing I can do because they're married and they're his kids just as much as your kids. I said, listen, I think he's supposed to apply for welfare. Well, now it's his turn. Excuse me, sis, I'm sorry.
Hallelujah.
These are the days that we walk on this earth.
Hallelujah.
To learn to give God glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
To use the wisdom of God that he gives us to be kind and loving. And
yes, yes.
Sometimes kind and loving is doing the things that are different. They say, oh, that's bad. How you do that? Because God gave me the strength to put him on that door. So, you know, in the wisdom of God, and you know what? If I had not have done it, they probably wouldn't know their father as well as they do now. In all things, we give God praise.
Yes, yes.
Our lives, you know? So my story is a little bit different than yours.
Praise God.
Share a lot of stuff.
Hallelujah.
But Father is Father.
Yes, yes, yes.
Father is Father. And these babies need to know what Father means and what Father is for.
Yes.
And the people have it in their home and in their heart to be fathers and mothers to these children.
Hallelujah.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And love them to care for one another.
Hallelujah.
This is the gift of life that God gives us, sis. And this
Thank
is
you,
where
Jesus.
We reach out to. And
Thank
everybody
you.
Can be in your family. You understand me? There's no God and no respect or person, and we should not be either. And those people that we have had children by, I mean, they come and they go and they do what they want, you know, but you know what we want to do because we're going to do what God tells us to do. And that's what we should always want, to do that which is pleasing to God.
Amen, amen.
Right? To do those things that are pleasing and right now children in a way that they can live and not die and declare the works of God in their own life, not just in every now and again, it's Sunday when we go to church. This goes beyond the church.
Amen. Amen.
Like, this goes into the home, into the heart of our babies. And see, that's what, you know, is, I think is important as we journey through this life and as we raise our babies and our grandchildren and our children's children.
Yes.
They got to know that there is a God.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's a Father that sits high.
Yes, yes.
And he's concerned about everything that concerns us. You know, there's nothing that we can't go to Daddy about.
Amen, amen.
Nothing.
Yes.
Nothing, because he desires that none be lost.
Yes.
That's the beauty of sharing and living in him.
Yes.
So I'm for you. I'm in a swim now, baby.
Oh, hallelujah. That's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow. I just had so many different thoughts while you were sharing. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And so many times, you know, we also have to, I guess, show our children when there is an absent parent. And in my situation, it was the dad, my children, biological father. And so much we want to, I guess, shield them from it. So much I didn't want them to know about or whatever. But what I was keeping them away from was also keeping them away from knowing what God could do. So when I was there, it was like, hey, we don't have such and such. And I learned how to hold hands with them. And my children's faith grew. I got some girls that know how to pray for things to be manifested. And I remember one day, this is to me too, it's small, but I was we were going through a neighborhood, walking the neighborhood, And they said, Mommy, and they were all babies, they were all little. They said, Mommy, we want some ice cream. And I look, I probably had already turned over the cushion sofa, the pillows in the cushion, and probably already got all the change, loose change that was in the chair. So it wasn't no more there. So I said, Lord, and I held hands with them right on the street. And I said, Jesus, please bless us with some money so we can go and get some ice cream.
Yes.
And this was short teaching them faith, teaching them how to, we were touching and agreeing for something as small as ice cream. And we walked down the street and sitting on the steps on Monroe Street, and one of my older sisters was leaving Drew Hill Park. We lived around the corner from Drew Hill Park. She was going down Fulton Avenue, and she turned the car around. And she said, huh, she said, someone just told me to come past here and give you this. She gave me $10, and I said, oh, that's because we just prayed for some money for some ice cream. And my daughters, they have had so many, numerous opportunities of us touching and agreeing, praying and believing God for what they want. And calling on Father God.
Yes.
And one of my girlfriends said, she said, don't pray that they're like their father. Because a lot of times we look at, oh, you want to be just like your father. No, you want to be like your Father God. And
yes.
that is what I confessed, that
yes.
they will be like their Father God. And
yes.
hallelujah.
Yes.
When we needed something, we knew how to pray. We knew how to believe God
yes.
for graduation outfits, for
yes.
project materials,
yes.
for
yes.
transportation to church,
yes.
for food
yes.
on the table.
Yes.
And one time we
yes.
set the table, they didn't have the food. By the
yes.
time that we ate dinner that night, because somebody came, run the doorbell, tapped on the
yes.
door. When I went,
yes.
there were grocery bags of groceries
yes.
on the
yes.
steps.
Yes.
God
yes.
did it. Something magic. So therefore, they know.
Yes.
So therefore, I know it may not have been a visible or
yes.
a changeable dad in the home,
yes.
but Father
yes.
God took up the
yes.
space, took up the place, and he
yes.
made himself there,
yes.
made himself alive,
yes.
and I made him alive in their lives.
Yes.
And so
yes.
therefore today,
yes.
if they,
yes.
if it's not a father in
yes.
the home for my children's
yes.
children,
yes.
they know how to
yes.
pray, how to touch and agree,
yes.
how to believe God. For what they
yes.
want, because they were
yes.
they were, and they.
Yes.
I've never been a male basher or a daddy basher, so therefore, they don't have to be there, but
yes.
they know how to pray and believe God for what they need for
yes.
their children, and
yes.
God is manifesting it.
Yes, and you know what is beautiful in that, sis, the coming together. To coming together with one another. They have a network that they do. My babies, now that they can see each other on the telephones or something,
mm-hmm.
all over the place, and Portland and Oregon and Delaware and Davis down North Carolina, and Donya, you know, she's over there, and what you call them, Owens Mills, and, you know, I mean, they're all over the place, but do you know they still get together?
Praise God.
And they talk and they do and they plan and they look out for one another
mm-hmm.
and one another's children and things.
Mm-hmm.
And we have things
mm-hmm.
that we do, sis,
yes.
that
yes.
Bring them together in, I'm sorry, sis, I'm going to put
mm-hmm.
that on you.
Okay.
But
yeah.
anyway, but to bring them together and they, you know, and they have events that are
uh-huh.
so beautiful.
Praise God.
And stuff that they've known from their childhood how
yes.
to, you know, God makes a way.
Thank you, Jesus.
He makes a way, so they get
yes.
together. Then, you know, that's why when one come down or whatever, then the other one's picking them up. You know, they're looking out for one another, and
mm-hmm.
the other's so good, and everything. And I love that.
Praise God.
My grandbabies and all are being raised in a place where, you know.
Oh, that's
God,
good.
And it's God, and I knew that it was nothing but my father.
Yes,
and
yes.
One of my sons that have gotten married, their wives might be sick of them, but guess what? They still with their wives.
Praise God.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and I mean, the kids, you know. Everybody coming together, inside, outside, everybody sitting up in one house looking at each other. And I mean, it's just, it's only because of my father.
Yes.
And I thank
yes.
God for it. And I didn't say there was perfection in any of it. Because every day is a trial and an error, and you're learning
yeah.
and you're leaning and learning things.
Yeah, we all
but
got stuff to work through.
God said everything works together for the good.
Yes.
And so these are the things, you know, I'm not saying that there's not tests and trials and stuff that, you know, we have to come up against as a family. But that father, those children, those men.
Praise God.
My bishop say mighty men of valor.
Yes, that's
those
right.
Those men still come together. You know, they call themselves Linda's boys.
All right. Hallelujah.
Call themselves Linda's boys.
Praise God.
I am proud of the men and the women in my family.
Praise God.
Anything better, but by the grace of God.
Yes, but just to think, Miss Linda, just to think, if you were a woman, a loose woman, after dad, let's say, and after he disappeared, and when you thought the children were in the bed at night, and you snuck out, and you went to the bar.
Wait a minute.
No,
I didn't say I wasn't loose. I just said I was
praying. Hey, look, wait a minute. I'm trying to make a point. Bring back a bottle, and you thought the children were asleep, and they saw you doing this, and they saw this one sneaking in at night, and so, or they overheard you bash them on the phone. Them say, you know, things could have been way worse. Things could have been an adverse situation, don't you know? And whatever happened now, when your children are grown and married, it would be a duplication of what they saw.
Yes.
One of my children told me today. She said, my mother did it with four. I can do it with two.
All right, ma'am. Okay.
And I'm saying, wow.
So
we never know. So we think every eye asleep. The closed eyes ain't sleep. No. And they hear us praying. They hear us talking to the Lord. And I'm just like, wow, that was a testimony unto God. Huh.
Yes.
She said, I ain't got to do this. I ain't got to do that.
Yes.
If my mother did it with four girls, I can do it with my two.
Yes.
I said, praise God.
Yes.
And when whatever we show them in the hard in our hard times, that's what they're gonna do when they're in hard times.
Yes.
Praise God.
But I love the beauty of what God does, sis. And that's why I threw that one out there. Because there's a lot of women that are walking, baby girl, and you know, and they're finding their way.
Uh-huh.
Okay, there's a time and a place where sometimes you have to, you know, you're looking and you're trying to find your way, and you're trying to do that which is right in your own mind, and you're trying to figure out where you're going. And see, God says he desires that none be lost. And so you understand, that's why I throw that out there, because there's no perfection in me. It's only in my Father.
Yes, hallelujah.
Not always his thoughts, but he allows me to be Linda. And then he calls me back and he says, this is another way of looking at it. I need you to come back a vision.
Yes.
And you know, you're going out there, baby girl, and I got to protect you. And see, these are the things that teach you. And it's not because we're perfect, it's because God is perfect.
Yes, hallelujah.
God is perfect.
Yes.
So that, you know, because, again, I say we're sojourning in your life. I wish we did have all the answers.
Hallelujah.
And sometimes the answer that we think we have is the wrong one, sis.
Yes.
But thank God that he doesn't hold it against us.
Thank you, Jesus.
We can go in and ask for forgiveness. So we can say, Father, you know, I know I'm like, can you save me? Can you deliver me out of this? And this is the thing that I know God is able.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God that he shut
Yes.
Who I am. Oh, I am accepted me.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that was the beauty of what
happened. Hallelujah.
Yes. Just want to put that out there, so don't be afraid because you're perfect and you're not perfect.
Hallelujah.
Come on, but God is.
Hallelujah.
Who do you want me to be? God says to us, who do you want me to be? He says, I am.
Yes.
You know, he says, I am the Father.
Yes.
I am the hope.
You're welcome. All right, bye-bye.